Shalom, everyone, and welcome to the Restoration Hour. We hope that you've had a blessed weekend and that you had a great Shabbat. We really hope you had a great Shabbat. The weekend was so wonderful. We were really looking forward to just resting, and Abba Father is really good. We got to do just that. So we want to wish you a very, very warm welcome to the Restoration Hour. We are so expectant and looking forward to, you know, Abba Father just really meeting with us, and he's really given us a word on our hearts tonight to just share. And one of the things that he really said to me for this evening was, you know, I've given you a word to sustain the weary. And Abba Father knows exactly what our hearts need to hear. He knows exactly where we are at, where each one of us are positioned and situated, and what we need this evening. And so I really want to just, you know, bless Yeshua for being with us, knowing he is with us, knowing his presence is with us this evening or this afternoon, this morning, wherever you find yourself. So just settle in with us and just be here and let us just fellowship with Abba Father and just hear his word being ministered to us and just open up our hearts to receive what he wants to share with us today, because I'm truly looking forward to having him stir up what he wants to share with us in his heart to our heart. And so may we have open hearts to receive that. Yes and amen. Yosef, welcome to you as well. And, you know, bless you for being here on this Restoration Hour.
Yay! Yeah, I'm so glad that we can be back again. Last week we were not able to broadcast, and it's good to be on air again. I'm excited for this evening's broadcast, Aaliyah. As you said, you know, it's, I think that for many of us, the times and the seasons that we find ourselves in, it's become a weary time for some of us. And, you know, sometimes we know the truth of the word. We know what Yahweh says to us. But sometimes we just need to hear encouragement again. We just need to be, you know, repositioned and just hear the truth of his heart for us at this time. So let's pray, and then let's start this evening. And I really pray that this Restoration Hour will really bless each and every one of you, and that you will have an open heart this evening, and that the Father will really minister and speak to you. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank you in the wonderful and powerful name of Yeshua Mashiach. Father, for your goodness, your mercy. Father, for your loving kindness. We thank you, Father, that your word says that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we want to pray this evening, Father, that as we come together, Father, whatever our needs, whatever our desires, whatever our heart is crying out for, I pray this evening, Father, that you will meet us at our point of need. Father, this has always been a wonderful time. It's always been a time, Father, where not only does the word get proclaimed, but Father, where things are changed in our hearts, Father, where you really minister into the core areas of our hearts. And that's my prayer this evening, Father, that you will minister into our hearts and help us, Father, just to be strengthened again by your voice and by your word as we continue, Father, to run this race with endurance so that we may obtain the prize. And we thank you for this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. You know, it's so interesting when we consider and when we look at ourselves and we just know, you know, Abba Father is with us, and what is he wanting to say to us? You know, what can we really always learn, but what can we experience and what can we take with us and what can we just have received by our hearts? And I know that, you know, I know that for you and your family, it's, well, I'm part of the family, but you know what I mean? the last 2 weeks have suddenly become quite difficult, and we know that that's a big thing and it's a big reality, which is part of why we weren't on the broadcast, you know, last week. And so please keep Yosef and his family in prayer. You know, at this time we don't want to give like way too much information, but it is quite an intense time, and we know that, you know, it's important for us all as a spiritual family to be together and to really pray for one another. And we know for many of you as well, they come to the Restoration Hour, you yourself have, you know, families that need prayer and loved ones that are struggling and things that are happening. And so let us keep each other in prayer for that. And I think it's so important, not so, Yosef, that we really just are at a place where we just remember one another in prayer. And it's very, very important. And we really lift that up to Yeshua this evening. And you know what? We really want to talk a bit about someone that we know from the scriptures that is probably a little bit well known.
Do you really think that we really understand this man?
No, I don't. You know, really reflecting, everyone's like, you guys haven't even told us who you're talking about. We're really going to be talking about Noah this evening, or Noah. And you know what? It's so interesting because as I was reading, doing the last 2 weeks, actually, the Father's been leading me into just one part of Noah's life and really been speaking to me about this part. But what is beautiful about what happens with Abba Father, and I think it's something that a lot of people kind of, you know, when they come out of Christianity, they're scared to ask Yahweh questions about the word. You know, they'll sit with the word and just read it and just accept. Whereas Judaism teaches us that we must consistently ask questions. We must consistently and always be asking questions. Ask questions of the Bible. Come to what you read with a lot of questions and ask Yahweh questions. And even when great revivals broke out, you know, among Christian people over the last 100 years ago and then before that even, it was because people came together and they were asking questions of Yahweh and then breaking out and then praying about it. And then they would come back and then see what the Father was saying to them. If they didn't have the answers, they went away. They asked the questions again and they came back. And as I was reading about Noah, I had a lot of questions that suddenly came up in my heart. And I was saying to the Father, but well, what about this? Why is there this prophecy? Like, this guy doesn't seem good, because we look at Noah and we read, even, you know, think about your readings that you've done on Noah. When we are children, we know about Noah and his ark and the animals. That's what's important to us. As we become adults, we read about Noah. And I remember being in a Torah group that was very quite fixated on Noah failing, in the sense of, like, you know, building a vineyard, getting drunk, and then that whole situation that happens, which we always trying to understand. But there was that fixation on that. And then as you move away from that, you look at Noah and it says that he was a righteous man in his generation, blameless before Yahweh. But people then take that and say, well, he's only righteous in his generation. He's not as righteous as Abraham is. Abraham walked fully with the Father. Noah was righteous, but only to a certain point of righteousness. So he wasn't actually a very holy person. And a lot of people look at that and then we become, you know, focused on that. But what I want to share with you today is quite a few parts of what the Father has shown me and what Yosef and I have been speaking about and just sharing over with one another. And the beautiful thing is, as I asked questions of Yahweh while I was reading his word, he took days and days and days to answer me, but I consistently went back to the same chapters that I was reading. And I've been reading a lot more than what I'm going to be sharing today. But you know what? He began answering me. And that's the beautiful thing. And that's the first thing I want to say to you, that if you have something that you want to understand of the word, you know, and it's something that you start reading and you don't understand in that moment, ask Abba Father. And the thing about Yahweh is that he really actually wants us to seek him. And what I've found over many, many years is that he wants there to be a pursuit. He often doesn't just answer straight away, because he's almost wanting you to pursue him. He's wanting you to not consistently knock and seek, and then you will find. You know, we can ask a question now and he may not answer us now, but he is with us. But he wants to, it's kind of like he wants there to be that beloved pursuit. He wants you to come after his truth and after his heart. And when you stop and you don't pursue and come after, you sometimes are not going to find the answers and to those questions you have. Yeah. Now, putting aside everything we know about Noah, there's a lot more that we can learn, Yosef.
You know, Leah, before you continue with that, I think that point that you just made is very important. I think that so many people today fail with that desire, or fail in the pursuit of Yahweh. So often we give up because we think, well, you know what, it's someone else's duty to get me to the place that I need to be. Or, you know, someone else is more, learned in that place, or they have more understanding of the word. So we'll rather listen to those people or follow after those people. Whereas Yahweh is saying, and I really want to stress this evening, seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and all these things will be added unto you. Even if we don't have the understanding or we don't possess that knowledge, Yahweh says that you don't have because you don't ask. You lack wisdom because you never ask for wisdom. You lack understanding because you don't ask for understanding. So when we ask Yahweh for things, then Yahweh will grant those things to us. But we have to be seeking and we have to be pressing on. And that's important. So I, like you said this evening, don't let someone else always, you know, have to be the one steering the boat. You be the one and ask the Father to guide you and to lead you so that you can come into, as the word says, come into all understanding. It's important that we do that.
And as we learn from people who can teach us, we can put those things inside of ourselves as well, and just consistently be learning and growing. And I think that that's what's so beautiful about this process of learning Yahweh's word and his truth. Now, we know what happened with Noah. We know that he was preaching the word in, you know, the word being that there is a flood coming and everybody needs to repent. You know, for a very, very, very long time, he was consistently proclaiming that. And while he was building the ark that Yahweh had told him to build, we know that then, you know, the people don't repent. It's a very long time. What is actually very beautiful, we're going to touch on Lamech this evening as well. Noah's father, Lamech, was a good person, was also a righteous person in his generation. We don't know a lot about him from the Bible, but he was around, and what was great and what is gracious, and I think it's one of the things we can learn this evening as well, point number one, was that Lamech named Noah something specific. You know, he named his son, and he walked with the father, and he was a good man. And because of Yahweh's grace and mercy upon his life, he was taken away just 5 years before the flood came. And so we know that Noah obviously lost his father just 5 years before the flood came. But that was Yahweh's grace on Lamech's life, saying that you're not going to witness this. You know, I'm going to take you away before the bad things come upon the earth. You know, I'm going to spare you from that. I'm going to take you to be with me. And that's how it was. And he extended that mercy to Lamech and to his life. And so Noah is just consistently preaching, even though his life is going through normal phases. He's losing family member. You know, he's watching people ridicule him. He's trying to do the right thing. He's walking with Yahweh every day. He's building the ark, probably through a lot of his own questions of how am I going to get all these animals in? How is this going to happen? There was no rain upon the earth, we know, for all those hundreds and hundreds of years. And so there was, you know, we know the story. And so then when Yahweh decided that was the day, he said to Noah, go into the ark. And when Noah goes in, all the animals go in, his wife goes in, his children go in, and the floodwaters open up. And there is that tempest that just comes upon the earth. And everything, all life ceases. We know from the word, actually, that it doesn't say that all the animals in the ocean died. So it was very, very probable that they didn't die. Part of why, you know, the animals on the earth had to die was because there was that great perversion that was going on that time. So obviously that wasn't happening with the animals in the ocean. So it was very possible that they were still alive. But we do know that the storm was there and it continued, and the rain, and everybody, you know, died, and the waters covered the highest mountain peaks, and everything must have been incredibly difficult and hard and terrible. And I think if we just pause for a moment to consider what this man has just been through, not just that consistently preaching the word for close to 100 years and people ridiculing him and not accepting the word, but he must have witnessed death. He witnessed it. You know, there were people probably knocking on the boat, screaming outside, saying, let us in, let us in, when the waters started rising.
That's right.
It must have been a very, very hard time. Can you imagine being Noah and just literally being inside the ark and hearing people you know from your own city, your own town, maybe distant family members, maybe friends that you know you once had by your home, banging on that wood outside, screaming, let me in, let me in. Noah, help us, Noah, help us. Can you imagine the weight of that grief and that pain, and him just almost, you know, he must have just held his head in his hands, and he must have wept, because think about the intensity of what he's experiencing and the depth of what it actually costs to be obedient when Yahweh calls us to something, and the loss that we endure in our lives to be fully obedient to what he calls us to do. Sometimes that's what it looks like. Yeshua said that. He said that, you know, if we want to follow him, we've got to pick up our cross and we've got to walk daily with him. And sometimes it's going to cost. But on the other side of that, the blessing is I am being obedient to what the Father is telling me to do. Noah, even though he must have felt so much in that moment, he must have also known inside of himself that this is what obedience looks like. But it's really, really hard. And I think that it was a very heavy time. You know, you're witnessing so many things. And then the ark is lifted up on the water, Yosef, and there it goes. And it just bobs. we know, for like weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And Noah at that time, what is he doing? He's in the ark, he's feeding animals, he's getting rid of the poop, you know, that the animals are making. And all he's doing is shoveling poop there and, you know, feeding them. And really must have been trying to just be like, Yahweh, speak to me. Yahweh, speak to me. Help my heart. Give me the strength. Give me the energy. Give me the life within myself that I need.
You know, Leah, I think that, like you said, we read the story and we, you know, from a young age, we've heard, you know, the story of Noah being spoken and proclaimed. But I think that what we forget is exactly what you said, the fact that Noah preached for nearly close to 100 years. Now imagine the generation of people that were around during that time that he was proclaiming. There was millions of people upon the earth, and Yahweh says that he was sad in his heart because everybody was defiling themselves. But the amount of people that must have known who Noah was, what this man was doing, walked past him every single day, saw this boat that this guy was busy making, and thought that this guy is crazy. And yet, the moment that water began to fall, it was as if, I believe, every single person realized at that moment what this man had been doing, and that his obedience had actually been, you know, truthful, and it was paying off. But there was nothing they could do. There was no way that you could get in. And I think that for us, I think, you know, there's two sides to this, because being a righteous man in his generation, Noah saw the wickedness. And I feel that, you know, even us today, as we are in the world, you know, we see the wickedness and we see what is going on. And we have to continually ask the Father to renew our hearts and to help our hearts. You know, Noah in that moment, I feel like there's this fleshly side that we forget. You know, just as we get, you know, angry at the things that we see and the injustices that go on. And you know, the word says, don't let your anger cause you to sin. Noah was seeing so much wickedness upon the earth. Mm. And while he's building it, people were mocking him. People were laughing at him. But yet, you know, he still had to remain a righteous person during all that was happening, and not allow his heart to become so bitter and so full of resentment, and have that attitude almost of like, well, you're getting what you deserve. I don't believe that was how he was at all. And so often we land up like that, where we feel that, you know, the world is so bad, people are so bad. So when bad things happen, it's kind of like, well, you know, judgment's happening, you're getting what you deserve. I don't believe that Noah was like that at all. In it all, I still believe that he had this heart and the sadness and this feeling, because we know, and we're going to speak about it as we go on. You know, as you said, he bobs upon the ocean. It must have been intense being on that water alone, just with your family and these animals. And then as the water, you know, goes, we see the next thing that Noah does and what he does, how important that is. And it's important for us to understand that his heart was in the right place.
Hmm. You know, yes, that's so true what you're saying, because I know in this generation there's a lot of people that get upset about the things that they see, and it's easy to be, you know, respond in an emotion that could be judgmental or bitter or angry or one of self-righteousness or one of like, are you guys just all doing that? I'm doing this because this is right. And I also don't believe Noah was like that. And in order to have this incredible mercy and for Yahweh to really choose you meant that your heart really must have been in the right place. Mm. And you know, it does say in Genesis 8 that the waters flooded the earth for 150 days, but Yahweh remembered Noah and all the animals that were with him in the ark, and he sent the wind over the earth and the waters receded. You know, the rabbis actually say that Noah showed such mercy to the animals in the ark that Yahweh remembered that mercy over and over again. That's why it says in the Torah that he remembered Noah and the animals. And again, I'm just going to pause and say that this is how much love Yahweh has for the creation. He's not just interested in human beings. He's interested in the animals. He wanted them to be there. He wanted them to be upon the earth. He wants us to look after them as well. And he saw what Noah was able to do in the ark and how beautiful that was. And he remembers it. And it's not that he ever forgot them. It was just that what Yahweh witnessed in Noah and what was happening in the ark also just caused him to respond. And there's a newness that happens here, Yosef. If you read this, it says he caused a wind to come upon the waters and to just begin to move the waters and recede. Very much like Genesis chapter 1, where it says the Spirit of Yahweh is hovering, was hovering upon the water and just created, you know, just divided the light and the darkness. Not so. The evil is now here with Noah. It's gone. It's been washed away. So the Spirit of Yahweh, it really is the Spirit of Yahweh that hovers on the water and is going to just create this whole new reality that's going to come into being. And a very important point that we are really going to touch on this evening is in Genesis 8. And it's found, here we go, in verse 18. I've got so many Bibles here. So Noah came out. He's coming out of the ark. Noah came out together with his sons and his wife's sons, all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on the earth came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then verse 20 says, then Noah built an altar to Yahweh, taking some of all the clean animals and the clean birds. He sacrificed burnt offerings on it, and Yahweh smelt the pleasing fragrance and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of human beings, even though every inclination of humans are evil from childhood, but never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. I want to pause here to bring this to your attention. Noah has just been through what we described. He witnessed everybody dying, and then he had to face his own internal fears of bobbing on this water for 150 days, then another 40 when he sends out, you know, the raven, then he sends out the dove, he sends it out.
Noah must have been thinking, I hope I built this thing right. I hope my plans are right, because man, if I was bobbing on that water for so long in a boat like that, and I was thinking to myself, did I build this thing right? I mean, he's human. I mean, imagine what's going through his mind. He knows that Yahweh is with him, but still at the same time, I mean, he must have been thinking, just don't leak, just don't leak, just don't leak.
There must have been so many thoughts that were going through his mind. But what is the very first thing that he does when he gets out of the ark? If I start crying like spontaneously tonight while I'm saying this to you, it is because this became so real to me over the last 2 weeks. You know, the first thing Noah does as he's encountered grief and pain and mourning and fear, the loss of life, tempers, crazy situations, is he builds an altar to Yahweh. He's not building an altar because he's afraid. He's building an altar because he wants to be close to the Most High God. And you know what? It's like when we go through these hard times and these intense moments in our lives, what is our heart posture? Noah's heart posture was to build an altar so that he could become close to Yahweh, so that he could communicate with the Most High. Sacrifices at this point, the kind of sacrifices that he's offering, these are not sin sacrifices. These are not sin offerings. These are free will offerings. These are offerings that he's making not to appease God, because that's not what the offerings were about. That is not how Yahweh gave the offerings. It wasn't about a vengeful, angry God that had to be appeased. No, it was about a God that wanted a heart that was sacrificed, and he wanted to be close to us, and that sin separated him from us, even there, you know, right in Noah's generation. And so Noah builds an altar and he offers these beautiful sacrifices. And what does it say? It says that Yahweh smelt the pleasing fragrance. Firstly, Noah's gift and Noah's offering please the heart of God. Imagine that for a moment, that you do something today that Yahweh alone is so touched and so moved by you alone, by the word you shared with a neighbor, by the food that you gave to someone, by the gift that you gave to someone, by the obedience that you're walking out in your life over the last month, year, whatever it may be, that what you are doing is alone touching the heart of Yahweh. Imagine, this is the God of everything. This is the King of Kings. This is the God who created the universe. And yet, you as an individual have the power and the ability to do something that can please his heart. Imagine pleasing the heart of Yahweh. This is powerful, because Noah's heart posture was just to connect It was to be with Yahweh in such a close, intimate way, to say, I'm building this altar. Every time the patriarchs wanted to connect with Yahweh, what did they do, Yosef? They built an altar. Mm. It's why Abraham built altars and Isaac and Jacob. They built altars. And what happened? Yahweh made covenants with them upon those altars, not because of the animal that was there, but because of the heart that led them to sacrifice. You know, Noah has encountered so much pain in his life, but yet his heart is to offer a sacrifice, to make an altar, because God, I just want to be close to you. I'm really not cared about anything else. And you know what, hey, it's so powerful, because what happens? Noah was doing this because it was just in his heart to do. But because of what he did, Yahweh decides that he's never, ever, ever, ever going to kill you or me through a flood again. That just blows my mind. One person makes one offering because he loves the Father. And because of that, and it happened thousands of years ago, Yahweh says, I'm not going to kill Yosef. I'm not going to kill Leah. I'm not going to kill anybody else through a flood again, because my servant Noah loves me. How powerful is that? It is life-changing. Because one person was stirred to overcome and to love the Father, all of us have been blessed. But there's one more thing that I'm going to say before we go to a song. It actually says, and this is what's so interesting, it says that Yahweh said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of man. And even though every inclination of his heart is evil, never again will I destroy all living things. You see, Yahweh responded to what Noah was doing, and he was going to never ever destroy us again. But here's the thing sometimes about our walk with the Father. It says here that Yahweh said in his heart. In other words, right here when Noah does this beautiful thing, Yahweh actually doesn't tell him. Mm. Yahweh doesn't say to Noah, you know what you've just done right now has changed everything for everybody. And I want to encourage you with that today as well. Mm. Sometimes we do things in this life that Yahweh leads us to do. We do the obedience, but also sometimes we just do things from our heart and it's good. And it kind of seems sometimes like why, or what is the purpose of this? Or is there anything that comes from what I'm doing? But Yahweh said in his heart that because of what Noah had done, he was going to change everything. And I want you to know that sometimes because of your small act of obedience, even just an act of obedience of praying, maybe even, doesn't even have to be what you do for others. It could be what you do between you and the Father. It can really change everything, can change everything for everyone. Imagine if a prayer that you pray today is the prayer that is going to impact people over the next 100 years. We always talk about it, but it's possible because Noah did that, and he changed everything for everybody.
Amen. You know, Leah, I want to say this evening, if you're listening, you know, this, what we're talking about, we cannot deny that it is of utmost importance right now in this time that we're in. And you know, Leah, like you said, we need to get to a point where we realize that what we do matters, that everything that we do in this life matters. That the Father looks at us continually and he sees what we do, whether others acknowledge it. But we need to remember, just like Noah. Noah was building that ark to save people. Even though they were not with him, he was still building it in the hope that others would be saved. And he wasn't actually doing it, if you think about it. He was doing it with this idea, or with this knowledge of knowing that this boat was not only going to save, you know, the animals, but hopefully it was going to save some of the people too. And he never knew if there was going to be one or two or none. He never knew, but he continued to be obedient in what the Father had asked him to do, despite the fact that he never knew. He never knew if anything that he was doing was actually going to make a difference. And so often we can preach, we can share the word, we can tell somebody about the love of Yeshua. And as you said, you don't see the seed that is sown today, because for one, the scripture tells us, to one is given the duty to sow, to another something else. But Yahweh is the one that waters. It's him that will do what needs to be done in the end, whether it be 5 years from now, 2 years from now, or 100 years from now. Noah never knew if anybody was going to get in the boat with him, but he never stopped preaching. He never stopped having that hope that maybe one person would be saved. He never stopped believing that Yahweh could do it. He believed that if he built this thing and he was obedient, then he was going to be able to hopefully get one or two people saved. So even though nobody got on, we know that that was, you know, Yahweh said that everybody was, you know, was evil, but he never knew that. He did what the Father asked. So in this generation that we are in right now, the scriptures tell us in Matthew, it says that, you know, the days before Yeshua's return will be like the days of Noah. We are living in times right now that are wicked, defiled, and so contaminated. But in this time, Yahweh is looking for Noah. He's looking for a man or a woman that will act like a Noah in this generation, obedient, but also have that mercy and love and justice for what is right and not for what is wrong. Not to be, and that's what's so important, Aaliyah. I think that we forget this. To be the bride of Yeshua or to be his people, we have to have those garments of righteousness. Noah chose not to be defiled. And at that time, remember, they were mixing their seed with everything that was defiled. Noah's seed was pure. Noah's seed was still righteous. Noah's seed was still holy. So in a spiritual concept for us today, we are not supposed to mix with the spirit of the age. We are not supposed to mix with the things of this world. And it is so difficult because everything today is so geared at mixing and messing us up. That's why it's so important to understand the commandments of Yahweh and what he considers as holy and profane. So brothers and sisters, I hope that what we've been speaking about so far, I know that it's moved me. I know that it's speaking to me. So let's go to a song, and when we come back, let us continue with this topic.
The song we're going to play for you this evening, I really hope it's going to bless you. It's called Song of My Father by Urban Rescue. So don't go anywhere.
Silence falls, I hear you call in the secret place. You still my soul with quiet joy, and I'm wide awake. In the middle of the night, I look up to the sky. I can hear
I'm not afraid to die.
Welcome back to the Restoration Hour. I absolutely love that song, Song of My Father. And you know what, today, as I was praying about, we were praying about what songs to play, that song was really on our hearts. So, you know, I hope that it blessed you. And welcome back to the Restoration Hour. We are talking through Noah and this beautiful reality of what's happening. I really want to say this to you, something that's on my heart while we were listening to the song, that, you know, Abba Father just really laid on my heart to say. And Psalm 139 says, you know, that he knit us together in our mother's womb. He knows us before we have even lived. You know, he knows the days before us. He knows who we will be. He knows what he wanted us to be called, what he wanted us to be named. He knows every single thing about us. And he also says in the word, he says in Isaiah 43, he says that I call you by name. You are mine. You are chosen by me. And Yah, we want you to know that this evening, that he knit you together in your mother's womb, that he wanted you here on this earth, that it was his plan to bring you forth in this world. And he also says that I know you by name, you are mine, I've called you, I've chosen you, and I love you, and I've given people in exchange for your life alone. And Yahweh says that, you know, he really loves you today, and he wants you to know that. He wants you to know that you belong to him. And you know, as we just consider one more thing about Noah and his life, it's found in Genesis 5. And when Noah was born, his father Lamech was, you know, had quite a lot of children already. And he was actually, you know, he was actually quite, well, okay, we would consider it old, but maybe it was young at that stage. But in Genesis 5, you know, verse 29, it says that Lamech had lived 182 years when he had a son.
I know, he was young for that time. I mean, come on.
he was like...
Yeah, he was just, he, you was know, so young. 50 years old to us.
No, probably about 20, because it says that, you know, Adam lived like 1,000 something.
Yeah.
So there was probably, they were probably like, dude, you're in your prime, you know. This is the great time to have a son. And he was 182 years old when he had his son. And Lamech named his son Noah, or in Hebrew Noah. And he said that this son will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground that Yahweh has cursed. He will bring us this comfort. Now, you know, we know Noah obviously means comfort, relief, rest, you know, just this kind of rest. And Lamech, It's very, very interesting, because I sat with this and I thought, okay, this is beautiful. This father had very high hopes for his son. You know, he's going to give us comfort and rest from the ground that Yahweh had cursed. He's gonna bring us rest from this. And I'm thinking, how? You know, because Noah doesn't really seem to bring us that rest. You know, when we look at him in the word, we just see, you know, all these lovely things about him. And not so lovely things about him. And then I think to myself, where and how? And that was one of the questions I asked Yahweh. Why? There's this prophecy spoken about Noah, you know, when he is born, his father has this hope and dream for him. We know what children are named specifically throughout the scriptures is very, very important to who they would become. And it's so interesting, because we know that Adam and all the generations, all his children after him and his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, all of them. I mean, we have Adam and Seth and Jared and Enoch and Methuselah and Lamech and a whole bunch of other guys in the middle there. You know, my genealogy, I cannot recite from memory. But, you know, they're all in there and they're all living at the same time. They're all living at the same time, right down to Lamech. And they're learning from one another and they're talking and they're like, Adam, how was it in the garden? And he's explaining and all this history and all this truth and all their interactions with Yahweh, they're sharing between one another. Even Enoch was there and he was a really good man that walked with the Father.
Isn't Noah even alive still, and when Abraham's around?
Exactly. So, and that would come later.
We forget to understand that they lived for such a long time, and that they kind of overlap. So the knowledge and the spiritual depth that they had, that they shared with one another, must have been amazing. Mm. I think that we forget that, you know, Noah comes and he starts, you know, this whole life, but then he's alive while other people that we read about in the scriptures are also alive.
Mm. And all of these people are alive, but actually what happens is that Adam passes away, you know, just before Noah is born. So it's very, very interesting because the curse on the garden was given obviously to Adam and Eve, and because of the fall and because of the sin, we know that obviously the Yahweh cursed the ground because of them. I want to say that nowhere actually in the curse, if you go and read it again in Genesis, does Yahweh curse man and woman. And I want to say that very clearly because I've heard a lot of teachings where people will say, you know, Yahweh cursed Adam and Eve. He did not curse Adam and Eve. He says the ground was cursed because of their sin. And then he just says that the woman would have this, you know, labor pains and she would have this desire for a husband and that. But then he also says that to Adam, you would bring forth these things through hardships. But it never says that he curses them. He didn't curse his own, you know, beloved. He didn't curse Adam and Eve. He didn't curse them. He loved them. He wanted them to experience redemption. He cursed the ground. And that was a problem for the people at that time. And you know what actually happens? And I read it to you. Lamech wanted and experienced this reality of saying Noah was coming forth to bring us comfort and to somehow undo this curse that was put on the ground. Noah is the first person that is born after Adam dies. And what happens in Genesis 8, right there, I read it to you earlier on, when Noah comes out of this ark and offers this gift on the altar and it pleases Yahweh, what happens? And this was the question that I asked of Yahweh, and he showed me this in his word. Yahweh himself says here in verse 21, never again will I curse the ground because of man. Never again will I curse the ground because of man. Right here, he says that, you know, never again will I destroy all living things. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease before me. Noah did. The prophecy that was spoken over his life from his father Lamech about who he would become. Maybe Lamech saw prophetically what would happen. Maybe not because of the ark, he didn't see that. But he saw prophetically in his spirit, I believe, that Yahweh had a plan. And that this son would undo that. And because Yahweh was, you know, interacting with Noah, it was through Noah's offering and through Noah's heart. Yahweh had witnessed Noah's obedience to preach, build the ark, have mercy, care for the animals, come out the ark, offer this gift on the altar, want to be close to the Father. And he saw Noah's heart. And because of that, he undid the curse. It actually says, and now rain will fall on the earth. Now there will be a seed and harvest time. We also know that during the time of, you know, when the ark was on the water before this, that the rain stopped. It says that in the Bible. So there was no rain on the earth for quite a long time. We know when Noah came out that everything changed. And everything changed because Yahweh was no longer going to curse the ground. We don't know what that curse of the ground actually even looked like because we don't experience it today because it stopped because of Noah, because of his generation, because of what he did and his actions. And again, what if what we do changes everything? And I want to say to you today that, you know what, Yahweh, I started off by saying something that Yahweh laid on my heart to say, where he says, I've called you by name, you are mine. The name that he calls you and the word that he speaks over your life is true and it will come to pass. Yahweh knows who he has created you to be. He knew who he created Noah to be. His father prophetically was in a right relationship with Yahweh, thankfully, so that he could see, so Lamech could see prophetically who his son would become. For many of us, myself included, we didn't have parents that were like that. They couldn't prophetically see who we would become. But when we get saved and we believe in Yeshua, he calls us by a new name and he says to us, I know who you are going to become. I know the plans I have for you, declares Yahweh. These are plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. This is what he says about each of us. He says, I know who you're going to become and I know what you are going to do. In Noah, the curse was removed of the ground. The ground curse was removed. And then Yahweh initiates the renewal. You know, we always say that, you know, we can thank Adam and Eve for being here, and we can thank them because they are our original parents. But it was really through Noah, because in Genesis 9, it says, then Yahweh blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, increase in number and fill the earth. Here, that blessing, that reality that was spoken to Adam and Eve right at the beginning, it's here spoken to Noah. To him and his family, says that you need to go and do this now. The covenant blessing and the promise and everything, it's with you now. You need to do this. so that you can recreate a better world, a world that is in connection with me, you know, a world that Yahweh wanted to see live with him. And Yahweh chose to do that through individuals. He actually didn't, eventually he would choose to do that with Israel. But for many, many generations, he chose one righteous man and one righteous woman. And like you said, Noah was alive, and when Abraham was alive, Abraham was 50 years old when Noah died. We don't know if they knew each other. We don't know that. But what we do know is that if they might have, you know, Noah could have shared stories. Definitely the story of the flood was known by the people in that time. Definitely. They would have known what happened. And so we know then that Yahweh decides he's going to work with Abraham. We see the beauty of the relationship he has with Abraham. But Noah really was someone whose heart we can learn from. We know that he made mistakes as well. And that's also something that we can learn from. We are all human beings and we do make mistakes. We mustn't get super tough on ourselves. I know sometimes for some of us, you know, you do something wrong and you let it just really beat you up for a very long time. You let it guilt you for a long time. You let it shame you for a long time. Even if it wasn't, you know, a big thing, maybe you thought something in your mind or, you know, you said something in anger and then you suddenly upset with yourself for a whole week and you haven't prayed and you can't let yourself just be. You can't let yourself just be with the Father. You know what? We know that we all make mistakes because Noah made mistakes as well. But there was a person that Noah was destined to become. And he became that person because not only was he obedient, but also because he had a heart after the Father. And that is the difference, Yosef. You know, erecting that altar and offering that sacrifice was not commanded. It was commanded of Noah to get into the ark.
That's right.
But Yahweh didn't say, now you build me an altar and you offer me a sacrifice. And lastly, what I'm going to say is that Noah got out the ark and he did build the altar and he did offer that sacrifice. And he was able to offer that sacrifice and able to do this beautiful thing because Yahweh had already provided for him. You know, there were seven pairs of clean animals that went into the ark because Yahweh knew that if, you know what, if Noah does maybe want to offer something to me or just wants to be close to me or just wants to offer a sacrifice, I'm going to make provision for that. So every good deed that we have to do in our lives, every act of obedience, Yahweh has already provided for. I believe that. Mm-hmm. I believe that every time we have to bless someone else, he's already given us the capacity to do that. If we need to give of ourselves, it may not look like it in that moment that maybe we have what it takes or we feel weary in our emotions. How can we preach the word? You know, if we're feeling down, how can we do this if we do that? Or Yahweh is there and he's the one providing for us. And I said to you earlier on that Yahweh said in his heart that what Noah had did was good. And that you know, he's going to give this beautiful sign and, you know, he would do all these beautiful things. And I said to you that in that moment, he never spoke to Noah. Yeah. He never told Noah that Noah's gift and Noah's love had changed everything. But you go on to read in Genesis 8 and 9 that Yahweh actually does tell Noah. He does say to him that I'm making this covenant with you. And because of what you've done, I'm going to do this. So we need to keep on doing the good thing. Yahweh does want to encourage our hearts when we do the good thing. He might not tell us in that moment that, you know, oh, Aaliyah, like what you've done has blessed me so much. Here's a blessing for you. He might not say it in that moment, but he is pleased. And we just keep on doing what he's called us to do. And one day he will also say, you know what? I want to bless you because you've blessed me so many times. That for me, you know what, the ability that maybe we have to bless, we definitely do have it, but this ability to bless Yahweh, we always see Yahweh as the one who blesses us. Mm. When we think of blessings, we think of us praying and us receiving and Yahweh giving, but it's actually not so because we can bless him. That was the purpose of many of the offerings in the Old Testament. Free will offerings were to bless him. So if you have the opportunity, you know, whatever that may look like, your prayer could bless the Father. Don't think of it as you being blessed just alone and receiving. That is part of it. But you spending time with him could be a huge blessing to Yahweh. We have the ability to be a gift to the Most High. No other religion ever has ever had that ability to do that. We have that. Yeshua made that way for us. And he also wants us just to be with him, to be with the Father, and to have that connection with him. And it's so beautiful, Yosef, just to think about that.
Amen. You know, Leah, it reminds me of what it says in Romans, that we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. You know, that's what worship is all about. It's worship. It's about us giving back to Yahweh. It's not always about us just grabbing and receiving and taking. And I think that as believers in Messiah Yeshua, we need to remember that. And we need to understand, too, that it's us that has to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. You know, Noah presented himself, he presented a sacrifice to Yahweh, but we need to present ourselves. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, it becomes like a sweet-smelling fragrance to Yahweh. And that's what he wants. He wants us to offer ourselves to him, to present ourselves to him on a daily basis, and also to walk with him and to trust him. And I feel like, you know, as you said, you know, Noah's generation was wicked, but at the same time, when we read what it says in Matthew, it says that like the days of Noah, we always want to look at the bad. We always want to look like, okay, so it's going to be really, really bad. Yes, it is. But if Noah was the man that was righteous in his generation and there was only one, then I really do believe that in this generation, there is many Noahs. There are many people that will be used by Yahweh in this generation. So we have to rejoice and be glad for that. That even though, you know, wickedness is prevalent and things are going bad, you know, it says in the word, the days will be like the days of Noah. So in the day of Noah, Noah was there. So we have to believe that there will be others. And it's important for us then to prepare ourselves and to ask the Father, how can we be as a Noah in our generation? How can we be obedient? How can we build that ark? You know, whatever it might be that the Father has for you to do, how can we do that with all that he has given us? And how can we also, as you said, when times are tough, when it feels like you're just bobbing on the water and you don't know where you're going, but you know that you are obedient, then are you going to offer that sacrifice? Are you going to present yourself to Yahweh and say, here I am, I'm here and I'm presenting myself? We don't present, you know, we don't necessarily now have to go and, you know, find a bird like Noah did, but we should be the one on the altar and say, Yahweh, here I am, and thank you for what you've done. Thank you for giving me the ability to share your word. Thank you for doing these things through my life for your glory and for your kingdom. That's what he wants. He's looking for people like that in this generation.
You know, as you were talking, Yosef, I just want to say, I'm going to say one thing that Yahweh laid on my heart, and then we're going to go to our final song of the evening. You know, as I was just sitting here, and I don't think this is something I've ever done on the Restoration Hour yet, but I just felt really Yahweh say to me for my release that Yahweh has really given you a specific name that he has called you. And this name that he has renewed over and over and over again to you. And you know, it so speaks of that woman that walked with Yeshua so closely. That woman that was the one that witnessed his resurrection first. The one that was called the apostle to the apostles. The one that went and had to tell the good news of Yeshua to her brothers and her sisters and to everybody else. And I felt like Yahweh was really reminding me of that and saying to you to read Isaiah 43 and to really just know that he has called you by name and that you are his, and he has given you the name that you had, even prophetically, you know, even from the beginning of your life, he has called you by that name and has said that this is who I want you to be. This is what I have for you. You know, that woman, she, you know, Mary Magdalene was so she was a single woman, and we know that she traveled around with Yeshua and she gave of herself to him. And I believe that is how the Father sees you and who he wants you to be and the name that he has chosen for you and who he has called you to so fully be at his feet with him. And so I just feel like he wants to remind you of that again this evening, and to know that you are his and that he is yours and that he loves you and that he has given so many people in exchange for your life alone, and that you are his beloved and the apple of his eye and the one that he looks upon and the one that he watches over and that he keeps close to him and close to his side, and that his eye is always upon you, no matter what you're doing, no matter where you are in your life, that his eye is consistently upon you. It's never ever moved, and it never will move. And so I know that Abba Father also wants you to embody who you need to become through all the prophecies spoken over your life and through all the words spoken, but the ones that he put in place from the very day that you were born, that the enemy tried to rob from you and tried to steal from you, because the enemy had a plan to destroy you, because Yahweh has such a powerful plan for this anointing of your life, for you to be a light, for you to be the one that shines this beacon of love and hope to so many people, but mostly, you know, for you to just be close to him in this love, in this connection, this closeness with Yeshua that not everybody has. And so I just pray a blessing over you, Maranice, that you will be blessed and that Abba Father will just fully come and just reassure you in every single way of every single thing that you need today, that he will reassure you and touch you and love you, and that his word will become such a real, real reality in your life. And I just encourage you to read Isaiah 43 and to just meditate on what he is saying to you. And we just thank Yeshua so much that he loves us. And we thank Yeshua so much for your life as well. And so we're going to go to a song right now called First Love. When we get back, we do want to pray for you. So stick around. If you do have prayer requests, please put them down and then we'll pray together.
You are still my first love, and all I am is yours. You are still my anchor, forever I'm secure. You are still my first love. You're my guiding light. You're with me in the fire, and you lead me through the night. You have my heart. You've won my heart. Oh,
Father, we just want to thank you so much for this restoration hour this evening. Father, we want to thank you for the life of Noah and that we can learn so much from him. Father, we thank you that in this generation that you truly are looking for people, Father, that will stand up, that will be people, Father, of your presence, but also people of obedience, Father, people who will present themselves to you, Father, as a vessel to be used for your glory and for your presence. So, Father, help us in this time that we find ourselves in, Father, not to be entangled by the things of this world, Father, but to renew our minds on a daily basis and allow your Spirit, Father, to live within us, to make a place, Father, an altar where you can dwell, Father, a mercy seat within our heart where you can come and really inhabit the praises of your people. And Father, this evening we want to thank you for the word that went out, but we also want to thank you, Father, for every individual that has joined us and those that will join later, Father, and listen to the playback. We really pray, Father, that no matter what they are going through, Father, no matter the things and the storms that they're facing, Father, whether it be their family, their finances, their lives, Father, we ask in the name of Yeshua, Father, that you will really intervene in the areas of people's lives, Father, where they need you to intervene. I pray this evening, Father, and thank you for Colleen and for her family. And Father, we want to pray that you will continue to bless that family. And Father, that there will be restoration through her entire family, Father, that the addictions will be broken, that you will set them free, Father. We also pray, Father, over her finances, that there will be freedom there, Father, and that there will be release to be able to do what she desires to do, Father, that her business will grow, that the things that she's doing, Father, will grow, and Yahweh, that you will bless her in that area, Father, exponentially, and that she will go from strength to strength, and we thank you for that. Father, we also pray for everyone else this evening, Yahweh, that is on this coffee break, Father, on this restoration hour. We ask, Father, in the name of Yeshua, Father, that you will seal us with a Ruach, Father, and as we go out into this world, Father, that the light of your presence will shine within us and that people will really know, Father, that we belong to you. And we thank you for this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Before we leave, I just really want to pray for you, Aideen, because Aideen, you were so on my heart, you know, while we were praying. And Father, I just really want to lift Aideen up to you, and I want to pray that you will just bless her, that you will just keep her, that you will continue to make your face to shine upon her, Father. Even though sometimes maybe she might feel like a Noah in this generation, I pray that you will strengthen her, Father, that you will strengthen her to build the ark that you have commanded her to build, Father. Whatever that may look like, whatever it may be, Father, I thank you for her obedience, Father. I thank you, Father, that you are with her, that you'll always keep her, that you're always guiding her, Father, that you are her guiding light, Father, that you are her North Star, Father, that she is looking at, Father, to lead and guide her path. I pray that Aideen will be such a bright light, shining light in this generation, Father, that she will shine, Father. I'm reminded of the words found in Matthew, Father, it says that a city on a hill, it cannot be hidden, Father. It's seen even in the darkness. And Aideen, I just want to encourage you with this evening as Abba Father lays this on my heart, just that you are a city on a hill and that your light cannot be hidden. And Father, we thank you so much for Aideen's life, and Aideen, also just feel Abba Father saying that he is just also so pleased with you for your obedience to him, and he sees it all and it's powerful. And I feel like your obedience is like a fire, and it's just this huge fire that's just burning in your heart, and it's just getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And Abba Father is so well pleased, and that your obedience is so overwhelming, that it's such a blessing, but it's so overwhelming, and that it's beautiful, and that it truly is roaring like a fire in your heart. The passion and the zeal you have for the things of Yahweh is just beautiful, and it's a gift and a blessing to Abba Father's heart this evening. It's such a blessing to him, and he wants you to know that this evening. And Father, we just really pray for Aideen, that you'll make her path straight in every single way, Father, that you'll protect her, that she will be a light in her family, Father, that you'll protect her on the left and the right in everything that she needs, Father, that you will pave the way for every need that she has in her heart and every desire and longing that she has and the things she prays for, Father. I know that you hear, that you listen, and that you are with her. So bless her, keep her, Father. Make your face to shine upon her. And we thank you so much for Aideen's life. We thank you for her obedience to you, Father. And give her the passion, the power, the ability, the energy to continue, Father, on the journey that you have set before. And we thank you for this in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty and most wonderful name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much to everybody for joining us on the Restoration Hour. We want you to know that Abba Father loves you, and that he loves you so much, and that he has called each of us by name, and each of you are just such a blessing to him. Mm. And we thank you for being who you are today. And so we want to wish you a Shavua Tov. We cannot wait to be with you next week. But until then, have a wonderful week, and we pray that your week will be filled with good news, miracles, blessings, joy, and peace to you and your family. So shalom, shalom, until next time.
Shalom, everybody.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken, no, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. She no longer has a place to hide. I am not a captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. I won't be shaken, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your name. Doesn't stand a chance when I stand. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Standing in